Thank you, Brother Joe. Jay, I'm sorry. Welcome all to the house of the Lord this evening. And I appreciate the words of my brother. And that was quite a trip that we took to Mexico. And I was glad to have him with me because I think that I don't know, maybe it's just how I am. If it wasn't for Brother Jay, traveling by myself, people take advantage of me. And that's the most concern of my wife letting me go to Mexico by myself, because she knows how I am, and just people walk all over me. I don't know if I'm just a nice guy, or I don't get it, I'm clueless, or I don't know. But Brother Jay, I remember we were putting gas in a gas station, and so he's paying in the pump, and here am I, all excited to be in Mexico. I go to inside the store and get some snacks, gansitos, which is my favorite snack, and other stuff, sodas, and I pay for that, and I pay for gas. Come out, jump in the car, and Brother Jay starts talking about how much he put in the tank, and I'm like, do you pay here in the pump? That was quite a few miles away. Yeah, I pay in the pump. Well, I pay in the store too. Well, there you go. Welcome to Mexico. But you know, they say, like Mexico, I'm going to say in Spanish, como Mexico no hay dos. Like Mexico, there's no other kind. You know, it's true. It's true about that, because you can take Mexican from Mexico, but not Mexico from a Mexican. I love my Mexico. I love their food and everything else. And they have so much to show, to provide. And I mean, Mexico is pretty rich. Even now, it's not a third country anymore, I would say. I mean, because they pretty much advanced what it used to be. But we there have fun. Brother Jay got to enjoy the balnearios, the pools down there with my brother Antonio and the family. And so that's one of the things that I sometimes think of myself. It's true what God says in the Bible. He already has chosen the ones who are going to follow him, because we did what we're supposed to do, and not many dare accept the fullness of the gospel, which is the Book of Mormon and the Bible. That was something hard for them to accept it and leave behind the traditions, our forefathers and grandma's parents, which is very hard to put in the side. But anyway, I'd like to welcome to all of you and those who are watching through live streaming. I believe some of my family are watching through there, and I ask that you pray for me, that the God will, just like Brother said, you got to give me acknowledge to bring his word forward in a way that you guys can understand what my point or what I'm reading. You can see that I have in the screen words of the dust, and we had a really good trip to Golden Valley. Me and my brother Gordon, we had a really good time, and I'm always enjoying it when I travel with any of the ministries. They're not all the same. They all have different characters. But I enjoy every single one of them. And we had a really good trip. Brother Gordon presented a study of Book of Mormon. And a lot of the things that he said made me think about a little bit. And it's amazing the people really don't know what this book means or what's in it. Of course, it's, you know, they hear Book of Mormon, they judge right away for what they know, for what we all know. when they haven't read it, and find out from themselves that really is not what they hear. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, there's people up there that are hungry and they are looking for the truth, and so much they somehow they do find us online, and so they end up calling our brothers to come and visit them. And so those are the people they keep the church going, preaching what it is, the truth, what it is, the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, the truth is that he was a man like we are. He was born of a virgin. He lived his life like anybody else. He experienced sadness, poverty, pain, and all those things that we experience in our flesh. And so that was the whole purpose of him being here, and so much that he experienced, you know, the pain of being put in the cross, nailed on the cross for the sins of the whole world. But that was the things that he was sent to do, according to the commandment of God, his Father. And so because him, we are able to find a way, to find the right gate, the straight and narrow path, as he said. And it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. The only problem is that we have pride, and we are Mr. Know Everything. And so, but if we humble ourselves and understand that only through Christ we may inherit eternal life, because sinners, we are sinners. We mess up every day. I'm going to share a comment that I heard on the radio. It was a preacher. I'm not going to mention his name. But they asked him, it was in an interview. And so this guy, I mean, he's always happy. He's always preaching happiness. And they asked him, why you always happy? You always, you know, smiling. Why is that? He said, well, that's what God wants of us. That's what he wants of us, to be happy and to have joy in our lives. And they're like, why didn't you preach, to the people, repentance? And he's like, I don't need to do that, because they already know they are sinners. They already know they are sinners. They don't need me to smear that repentance word all over their faces, because they know they are sinners. And so that's why I only preach, you know, happiness. God wants you to be happy, you know. God wants you to be, you know, rich, to enjoy life. But that's the thing. That's the thing that we don't know, you know. Ignorant people, they don't think that they need to be repent or safe. And so that is why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was put to death, because that's what he preached. You know, he preached the truth, and people did not like it. They did not like it, and so they were angry to him. You know, pretty simple. You know, I don't like what you're saying. So we're going to get into this. The words from the dust. And First Nephi, if you guys want to follow me, it's right there on the screen. It says, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most and plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots. Say the Lamb, wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in the day, in that day, says the Lamb, and so much that I will bring forth unto them in my own power much of the gospel which shall be plain and precious, says the Lamb. For behold, says the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. Which is will be plain and precious. And that is what I like about the Book of Mormon. That it is so plain. It is so plain that you are able to understand what he's trying to say and in simple words. For me, English is my second language, and King James Bible is Old English that I have a hard time, a lot of the times I have a hard time understanding what it says. If I go to the Spanish, you know, edition, it's more understandable. But still, there's some words that I really have no idea what it says. Right here, it's talking about what we have right now in our presence. You know, the things that will happen, which you don't find in the Bible. And so we're going to get into a little bit into the what is the mother of the harlots, the big and abominable church. But through this book that we have in front of us, the Book of Mormon, we understand and we have the answer of that question. Alma and Hillman, the one time that I was with my brother Gordon, we have a lot of comments. We were talking as we were driving to Golden Valley, and this came out and it stood in my head. You know, having the understanding, how is it that you got baptized without somebody else, you know, performing that baptism? But we're going to read here how is that the work of the Holy Spirit works in ourselves. And so because the power of them, Alma and Helam, were able to receive the authority to baptize those who were willing or they want to be part of the church. And this verse is really beautiful, because that kind of makes you understand that is how the Church of Christ, the Church of God, started. That was the beginning. So we read in Mosiah 9:45-49, and it says, after Alma had said these words, both Alma and Helam were buried in the water. And they arose and came forth out of the water, rejoicing, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And again Alma took another and went forth in the second time into the water and baptized him according to the first. Only that he did not bury himself again in the water. And after this manner, he did baptize everyone that went forth to the place of Mormon. And they were numbered about 204 souls. Yea, and they were baptized in the waters of Mormon, and they were filled with the grace of God. And they were called the Church of God, or the Church of Jesus Christ, from the time forward. That is how everything began. That is how everything began. This is talking about, you know, when Alma was persecuted by the people of the King, I forgot his name, but it was a wicked king. And Alma was part of his kingdom, a part of his group. And Alma, when he heard the gospel, it really penetrated him. It really touched his heart. And that's why I said that God knows already who is going to accept his word, who's going to follow him. He already knows. So he puts them in our way, and the rest of it, we just want to make sure that we are ready for that day. And so that is how the Church of Christ begin, you know, even from, what is that, you know, between the 600 years before Christ. So I'm going to read a little bit here about, because this is something that we should not forget. We should not forget. And one of my brothers is who really, when he speak, when he used to preach, he was, he do it in a way that it was so understandable. So when the Spanish arrived in the New World, they found a great civilization that was already developed. Cities were covering the face of the land. Who was the ancient builders, or the builders who built the cities, who cut great blocks of stone and carried them from far, far places, miles and miles, and then set them in place with the precision about the most famous engineers. And that's something that they marvel at, the skills. Strangely, these temples or pyramids are very similar to those that are found in ancient Egypt or Babylonia. And how were the buildings who lived so far apart were able to construct cities so similar to the ones in the old Egypt? How did they learn those skills? Who were these ancient people? So if we didn't have this book with us, we would not understand who were these ancient people. They were astronomers who followed the paths of the moon and the stars, and they had an observatory that I myself, I was able to witness when I went to Yucatan. And it looks very similar to the ones we have today. And so the calendar that they developed is one of the most accurate in all the world. They built large and beautiful cities and joined them together with a system and highways. The archaeologists, they're still trying to figure it out, how to puzzle this. How did they get it? These ancient people seem to arrive here with a civilization that was already full bloom. From whence did they come, and why are the great cities now left abandoned to the jungle, which now they're a cover, but men and science have long been trying to figure out these things, and these riddles, they can't figure out these things. But if they were willing to accept, because I'm pretty sure they have read this book, they will come up with some understanding. These are the words of the dust that we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. And this is a prophecy that they will not understand unless they are willing to read the Book of Mormon. So right here, I have a picture of this pamphlet that it shows a little bit of the Catholic Church and how is it that it came out to be to what it is right now. All these churches And that happened, I don't know, around the sister, around 10, 15, or 1500, something like that, when the church Catholic went all over the place. And so Martin Luther, I'm going to read here a comment that I have here. Martin Luther's statement challenged the Catholic Church rules as intermediary between people and God, specifically when it came to the indulgence system, which in part allowed people to purchase a certificate of pardon for the punishment of their sins. Those are the things they perhaps you didn't know, but those are the things I'm pretty sure you know. And there's a lot of people here that came out from the Catholic Church. Everything is about the money. You know, you had to pay for masses, for blessings, for confirmations, for someone to come to your church, to your house. You had to pay them pretty good money. And it's still, you know, when somebody passes, you pay for masses so they can make it to heaven, because if they don't, you know, those are things that separate. There were separations, and that is how it ended up to be the mother of harlots. That's what the Book of Mormon is talking about. Luther argued against the practice of buying or earning forgiveness. You know, it sounds like when Peter was fighting this guy who wanted to buy the power of the Holy Ghost with money, Peter told him, you know, that's not how it works. You don't buy the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't buy salvation. You know, money is, God does not need your money. So, believing instead that salvation is a gift of God. And that's it, the truth. You know, it's a gift. It's a gift for you to search for it. It's a gift after waiting for you to make that decision to follow him, to be baptized, to seal the commandment that you want to make between you and God. It's up there. It's free for whoever. So, and a group called Anabaptists reject the idea that infants should be baptized. Another Protestant reform in England began with Henry the Eighth, I believe, in 1534, because the Pope will not grant him a marriage annulment. Subsequently, King Henry rejected Pope authority of all this. All of this happened in around the 1500s. So, there's so many things that it caused this church to break apart. And so that's why, you know, our church is something that God was keeping away from all this commotion, all this. People were trying to do their own things, follow their own things. There was no power. I mean, there was, but they put them in the side. They put God in the side and try to do their own things, their understanding. And other disagreements was the political conflicts. One of the many religious disagreements between the Western Roman and Eastern branches of the church had to do with whether or not it was acceptable to use unleavened bread for the sacrament communion. And many other disagreements that split and makes the church to split. Simple things. If we follow Christ's commandments, it says in the book of John, at the end, do everything you saw me do. And any of this apply to what the gospel is talking about these days. In 1 Nephi 183, it says, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb which have been kept back by the abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, says the Lamb, where I will be merciful unto the Gentiles, and in that day, says the Lamb, in so much that I will bring forth into them my own power and my own power, much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, says the Lord. It's talking about the Book of Mormon. And so much, you know, we mentioned something the last week or about how is the Spaniards went to Yucatan or to Mexico, especially in Yucatan, and this guy, he was a friar, forgot his name, Diego de Landa. He went and burned all everything that he can find where it has to do with the Mayan beliefs, you know. And if I remember correctly, in the Book of Mormon, God told him, you know, hide these papers, these documents, hide them in the deepest of the earth, because he knew what was coming. Wherefore, whose belong not to the church of the Lamb of God, in 1 Nephi 3:22-23, belong to the great church, which is the mother of the abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. And then, and now this, right now, you know, you read this, and so there's some disagreements to trying to find out or to admit it, which church is. There's quite a few churches that are big these days, but only one fits to what it says here in the Book of Mormon. So when Jesus began, you know, his gospel, when he started preaching his gospel, and there was a lot of disagreements that the gospel was only for the Jews and not for the whole world. I like it when it says in the Book of Acts, you know, that the Peter was when he went to Cornelius and bring the gospel to him, the Holy Spirit fall on them also. And so the dream that he had, or vision upon the roof, about four-footers, animals, and stuff like that, things that Jews didn't eat. That's amazing how he had the understanding that the gospel was not just for, but it was for whoever was willing to take it. So, the words of Nephi's father, which is Lehi, in 1 Nephi 3:11-17, it says, and my father say that he should be baptized in Beth Habara beyond Jordan. It's talking about the prophet that it will come to prepare the word, to prepare the way for the Messiah. This is, I put down there, 592 BC. That's years before the born of Christ. These are prophecies that a lot of people don't have understanding that they were already fulfilled. And my father say that he shall baptize in Beth Habara beyond the Jordan. And he also speak that he should be, that he shall baptize with water, yeah, even that he shall baptize the Messiah with water. And after that, that he shall baptize the Messiah with water, he shall behold and bear a record that he shall baptize the Lamb of God, which shall take away the sins of the world. This is something that he was waiting for. John, he had God talked to him somehow what to look for. And then when you see this, that him is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. And so you read that in you know, in the book of John, when John baptized Christ. That's a prophecy that came fulfilled right there. And it came to pass that after my Father has spoken these words, he has spoken to my brethren concerning the gospel which should be preached among the Jews, and also concerning the dwelling of the Jews in unbelief. And after that they have slain the Messiah which shall come, and after that he had been slain, he shall rise from the dead and shall make himself manifest by the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles. Yeah, even my Father speak much concerning the Gentiles and also concerning the house of Israel, that they shall be comparable like unto an olive tree whose branches shall be broken. Wherefore, he say, it must need to be that we shall be led with one accord into the promised land, into the fulfilling of the word. That the record that John, his record, is the when he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. This is of whom I said, after me come a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I know him not, but that he shall be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I come to baptize with water." And John bore this record. That was his record. He would know the Lamb of God, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and above upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same saying to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining in him, the same is that is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." That is the record that we have today, the understanding how to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Like I said in the beginning, he was born of a virgin. He lived as a man. He suffered as a man. He died. He resuscitated again. He came back to life by the power of God, his Father. And he promised us that he will come back again. And so that's what we are waiting for. That is what we are looking for. So the Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 10:44-47, while Peter just spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they, of their circumcision which believed, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter. They didn't have the understanding that the gospel, salvation, it was for everyone. That's what Christ told them. Go around the world, baptize them in the name of our Son, Father, Holy Ghost. They came to that understanding. Because that, and the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak and with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that this should be, this should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" So what is the history of these people that came from far off? That's the question when the Spanish tried to destroy the books, trying to destroy every single thing that will be forgive them. And not really knowing, but there was a record that was preserved. That record was preserved by the power of God. And the record, and that record today is the Book of Mormon. It was preserved. That's why he said, "I will bring it up on my own time. And that time was in 1829 when it was given to Joseph Smith to be translated. So that was the restoration of the Church of Christ. And so those are the things that I wanted to bring tonight. I've been coming to this church for many, many years already, 15 years maybe. But these words, these studies, these sermons, we should not forget what we read and what we have in front of us. Brother Adam, had a few sermons of apologetics. Is that what they call it? You know, the people, people argue. They don't humble themselves and listen, but they argue to the beliefs of the Book of Mormon. And so that's my point tonight, that we have this in front of us. And so we can't forget those things. So the great prophecy about the Book of Mormon, here we read in 2 Nephi 11, 125 to 133, and it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall bring forth unto you the words of a book, and they shall be the words of them which have slumbered. And behold, the book shall be sealed, and in the book shall be a revelation from God from the beginning of the world to the ending thereof. Wherefore, because of the things which are sealed up, the things which are sealed shall not be delivered into the day of the wickedness and abomination of the people. Wherefore, the book should be kept from them. I have said a few times. We humble ourselves. You know, it says in Chronicles, my people, will humble. If we humble ourselves, He will, that His time is not our time. And we surely be blessed greatly, but we have to humble ourselves and be like He wants us to do, to be. But the book should be delivered unto a man, and he shall deliver the words of the book which are in the words of the of they which have a slumber in the dust. It's talking about the people who suffered and who went through all these things for this book and wrote down all this record for us to understand it. All this is part of this gospel of Jesus Christ, of the salvation. And then he shall deliver these words into another, but the words which are sealed he shall not deliver, neither should he deliver the book. For the book should be sealed by the power of God, and the revelation which was sealed should be kept in the book into their own. Wherefore, at that day when the book should be delivered unto the men of whom I have spoken, the book shall be hid from the eyes of the world, that the eyes of none shall behold it, save it be the three witnesses, it shall be held by the power of God. When the Holy Spirit falls on these three witnesses, you read of them at the beginning of the book, these three witnesses. And besides him, to whom the book shall be delivered, and they shall testify to the truth of the book and to the things therein. When Joseph Smith received the visitation of Angel Moroni, and his Moroni, and when he first was visited by him, three times he appeared to him in his room that night. And for those three times, he told him the same thing, that something God was going to use him, and his name was going to be for good and for not good. Basically, it's when we accept to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, people will treat you different. We will not be welcome to Christmas parties where we'll be alcohol and loud music and DJ. By the way, we're gonna have a DJ on this Christmas party we're about to have? No, we don't. We're not gonna have that. So when you're around those people, you even make them feel uncomfortable because you're not drinking, you're not dancing, you're not screaming like them. So so people will know. And so these are the things that they are talking about here, you know. Until we humble ourselves, God will make those words, you know, bloom in your heart. And so these are the things that we should not forget our members, being members of the Church of Christ. This is a church that was restored. And that pamphlet that I show you, those churches, they called to be the true Church of God, but they're not. Because they're just preaching for their own good. They're preaching for their own gain. They're preaching to gain power. And so they are not the true church. But they're going to argue with you. They're not going to believe in the restoration of the true church of Jesus Christ. And that's our belief, because we have the fullness of the gospel. That's what we believe. So the Book of Mormon is a scripture, just as the Holy Bible. It contains not only the history, but the word of God. And it's a testimony, and it's a witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It shows that God deals equally with all people, places, and all times. So, what is the history of these early builders? I'm going to read another verse that I have here. That many of their prophecies, precious books, and even libraries were destroyed by the early Spanish conquerors. There was not one record that was preserved. There was one record that was preserved, and that is by the power of God. And which record would that be? I believe that would be the Book of Mormon. Yes, the history of these ancient people can be read in the book. It is called the Book of Mormon. It is the story of our people and how God established them in this land. And it's your history. It's our history. It's everybody's history who's willing to accept it. So the Book of Mormon is a scripture. Yes, as it's a Holy Bible. It contains not only the history, but the word of God. And it is, and it shows us that God deals with all people. Long ago, the prophet Ezekiel prophesied that in the last days, the words of the Jews, the Holy Bible, and the words of our fathers, the Book of Mormon, will become one in the hand of the Lord. And you can read that in Ezekiel 37, the prophesy of the two sticks. That God says, rewrite this for Judah and this for Joseph. And put them together and it will become one in your hand, which is the true gospel, the fullness of the gospel. So the Lord has spoken to Ezekiel saying, son of man, take thee one stake and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel. This his companion, then take another stake and write upon it for Joseph, the stake of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. In the book of Genesis, we read in 49:22, that says that we read that the promise that was given to the sons of Israel and the descendants of God, and he spoke to their father Jacob. To Joseph, the Lord promised Joseph is a fruitful bough, even fruitful bough by a wall whose branches run over the wall. What was that wall? See, that's something that you don't know. What is it talking about? And if we believe what we read, that wall is the sea. They went over the sea. which the people of Joseph were to travel in the book of Psalms 80:11. You find the information. Speaking of the house of Joseph, David writes, she sent out her bows into the sea. You find it in Psalms 80:11. It was across the great sea that they were to travel. And in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gave his blessings to the house of Joseph. He tells them that they are to inherit a land rich the good and precious things of the earth. This land that is to be the inheritance of Joseph's people is to be the land of the everlasting mountains. And that is what applies to the land where we live. Those everlasting mountains run from Hawaii all the way to South America. I forgot the name. But those mountains, they go all the way down, and so that applies to what we're reading. Only one land in the world fits that description. They were to inherit the Americas. That's what they call it. Where we are, the Americas. From the north to the south of the land, the continuous mountains are rich and blessed about other lands. And that's where we are standing right now, in this land that is so rich and powerful. And I mean, this is the promised land. Those are the things that I wanted to bring today, that we should not forget those things. So I'm going to continue reading this. I'm going to finish it. About 600 years before the birth of Christ, Israel was surrounded by her enemies and is soon to be destroyed. God spoke to a righteous man named Lehi. He told him to take his family and all who will go with him and flee from Jerusalem, for it was such to be destroyed. So Israel, in those days, it was to be destroyed around the 600 by the Babylonians in the days of Jeremiah. And so, you know, when Jeremiah was called by God, it was called to almost not to bring salvation, but to bring condemnation. Because he told them, if you don't do this, you're going to be killed. You're going to be murdered. Basically, Jeremiah was sent to the house of Israel, to Judah, to tell them, listen and do what they say and follow up and you will live. Or if you resist and don't listen, you're going to be killed. And so what happened, he was put in a hole, a well, whatever it was, full of mud, to die instead of listening to him. 600 years. God went to Lehi and told him the same thing. But apparently Lehi didn't understand and flee. After he prophesied the things that God told him to say to tell Israel, they were looking to kill him. But God told him to leave. And so here we are. And that was 600 years before Christ. And so in the book Isaiah, we can read of these refugees. They fled into the desert south of Jerusalem. We read that they wandering through the wilderness. But her branches are stretched out, and they are gone over the sea. You see, you read it in Jeremiah 16:8. These people of Israel become lost to their branch, who remain behind in Jerusalem. No one knew of their existence except the Lord, who guide them across the sea to their new home. We do not read of them again in the Bible until Jesus spoke of them many years later. He was telling his disciples of other people that he must also visit, people of whom they knew nothing. That means Israel. Down there, they didn't know who he's talking about. Jesus said, another sheep I have, they are not of this fold. To them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be a one fold and a one shepherd. John 10:16. That specific verse right there, John, it really some that's the one that it made me understand. It really got into my heart, and that's when I knew the true doctrines of Christ was found in the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 13:30-32. Almost finished here. Wherefore, if you should press forward, fasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thou says the Father, you should have eternal life. This is after we have gone through all this, even in our life, the few years that we have alive. We have to press forward and let nothing discourage us. You know, just like Jeremiah was in that, in the deep of that certain or hole, he didn't give up hope. He was safe. He was pulled up. You know, that was a really, really hard situation where he was. And we can find ourselves in that situation too. But we had to endure to the end and press forward, says the Father, you should have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. And there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby men can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine. Listen, this is the doctrine, the true doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, not the Son, of the Holy Ghost, which is God without end. Amen. So in the 2 Nephi 13:24, you read 2 Nephi 13:24. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance. That's the true doctrine of Christ. It's repentance. Is baptizing by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire, by the Holy Ghost. That's very important right there. That is the true doctrines of Christ. Not money, not happiness, not all these things that make you happy for one moment, and or just say a few words and you'll be safe. No, those are false doctrines. So we read here in 32, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine, which is repentance, baptizing, and the remission of your sins. In James 1:12, blessed is the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. That is our promise, our hope, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. This verse is about being perseverance, imploring us not to give up even when we face trials. I have this picture here of one of my friends there. Probably no one knows him. We always are mountain biking up there. And so, you know, sometimes we face these uphills, and if you endure and keep all you got, you will make it to the top. You have to be strong, you know, not losing your hope, not giving up that easy. You just have to go forward. So our life is full of up and downs, but let not those discourage you. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we are in time of need, that's when we call and to God. That's when we remember him. when we are facing trials, that's when we should be calling upon His name with the desire of, you know, being you answer for that prayer, whatever it is. But not just when you're in times of need. And believe me, that's when people most remember Him. But when everything is okay, no one's remember Him. It's just like when he told the brother Jerry, you know, you forgot to worship me. You forgot to call my name. I mean, why it took you so long? He pretty much, you know, yelled at him. You know, don't you just call when you're in need? You know, call upon my name every day. Keep thanks for every day of life that we are able to breathe, walk, and you know, that's how we glorify God, by having Him always in our thoughts. So we need Him always. You know, that's a cup of coffee right there. You know, coffee. I have a sticker that says, coffee gets me started, but Jesus gets me going. And so Jesus is our, like our battery, you know, recharge us. So let's not forget what we know, what we learn. That we have these holy scriptures in front of us, which is the fullness of the gospel, and that we are in the truthful and humble, most humble, I will say, Church of Christ. Remember what He said, if it doesn't have my name, it's not mine. If church that we belong, it doesn't have His name, it's not His. We worship Him, somebody else. But in this way, this church has His name. And so that is what makes me more comfort that I know where I belong and who I'm with and who I'm worshiping. So thank you, guys. That's my comments for tonight. And so we're going to see 289 on your red book for our closing song.
Brother Dwayne and Jerry, would you take care of that administration for Helen back there?